Dissonance Media and the Other Stories presents. Step into the abyss of After the Gloaming, a gothic fiction podcast that delves into the depths of human emotion. Unyielding love, revenge, internal struggles, and restless souls await you in 9 haunting episodes, where dread, fear, and rare glimpses of eerie happiness linger. Dare to listen on your favorite podcatcher? After the Gloaming beckons. Search now, but beware. Innocence will be left behind.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
These aren't the stories your mother told you. No, these are the other stories.
Today's episode of The Other Stories is Where Does It Hide? Written by Jay Wolf and narrated by Matthew Lloyd Davies.
Across the room, it winks. Laying in the corner, collecting dust, the wooden mask stares out of empty eye holes, motionless, until it isn't. Again, it winks. Pink wallpaper covers every inch of the bedroom. Plush, robin's egg blue carpet is on the floor. By a window, a dresser sits, across from the winking mask. A cabinet on one side, and opposite that an empty toy chest. The toys are thrown about the floor. Some ruffled blankets tossed in the middle of the room, butted up against a crib with one occupant. A child, full of curiosity, works her way out of the crib. Climbing on the teddy bear she has propped up, she reaches for the lip of her prison. With chubby arms and tiny pink fingers, she struggles to get out. Leaning over the bars, her feet brush against the colourful mobile, making it jingle. Her body topples over the edge and lands roughly on the pile of discarded blankets. A small grunt escapes her lips. The sound of it, along with the thump of her fall and the jingle of the toy, goes unnoticed and wakes no one. 2 exhausted parents sleep in the next room. They sleep the sleep of new parents. The sleep of those who have given everything they thought they had. Then given everything they had, then continued giving for another week. They love their little girl, but the human body can only take so much, and they've reached their limit. So her tumble goes unnoticed. The child rolls over, unharmed, and struggles to stand. She braces herself against the crib. Unsteady feet find their way under her uncoordinated body. She then makes her way across the room, with the speed of a tortoise and the stability of a flag getting tossed around during a windstorm. She noticed the mask winking. It's been on the floor for as long as she can remember, and it's never moved. Until now. Again, it winks. This time, the mouth begins to move. What started as a straight line, roughly carved into the thin wooden mask, begins to slide. The ends curl up towards the eye, making a hideous attempt to replicate a human gesture. It's a smile, but a grotesque one. The girl doesn't know enough to run. She's curious. Life, up to this point, has been easy, with only minor inconveniences. Something new is something to learn. Every time she's seen something strange, she's investigated and been rewarded with a better understanding of our complex world. Why would this be any different? So she continues towards the mask, the artifact, the grinning abomination. It winks. The eyes seem to peer over her shoulder, and she stops, looks behind her, and sees nothing. The twisting motion unbalances her, and she falls, landing on her back. Her bones are still pliable, and her weight is insignificant. No harm is done, but now she must stand, and this time with no crib to balance her. She rolls from her back to her stomach, wheezing and grunting as she attempts this still unfamiliar move. She makes it, then starts the Herculean task of lifting her entire weight only powered by her strength. She places one hand on either side of her body and begins to lift. She strains, and a half push-up begins. She manages to lift her head, then her shoulders off of the floor. Then, with great effort by locking her elbows, she straightens her spine until she's on her hands and knees, ready to crawl, but she still wants to stand. She scooches her hands closer to her knees. The carpet burns as she does this, but she will not relent. She shall not give in. She arches her back like a frightened cat, then straightens, utilizing all the core strength she has. Now she's upright, but on her knees. Next, she leans to one side and almost topples over, instead catching herself with one hand. At an angle, she straightens the leg opposite the arm she's using for support, lifts, and tries to balance the other leg underneath her. Despite the odds, her task is complete. Again, she is standing. The smiling mask winks in her direction and tilts to the side, revealing a growth on the back of it, a rough patch, sticks. She hears a small noise. It sounds like it's coming from the window behind her, but she doesn't get distracted. The last time looking back ended badly with her on the ground. Instead, she makes her way to the mysterious mask. She's halfway across the floor now, and one of the sticks coming out of the back of the mask extends, then bends, like a finger pointing behind her, and again it winks. She feels a cool breeze. The wind must be picking up, and the window must be cracked. Being on the first floor, the window is typically closed, but sometimes parents forget. The blinds begin to rattle. She stays focused and tries to get to the mask. She's three quarters the way there, again it winks, and the finger points with more urgency. Lightning cracks and thunder roars. The room is illuminated, casting a moving shadow against the wall. It must be the tree outside swaying in the wind. She doesn't have time to think about that. She is almost to the mask. She reaches out and is about to touch it when the thing recoils. The sharp movement frightens the young child, making her jump. On unsteady legs, she falls backward. This time she lands on her bottom, The fresh diaper pads her fall and she remains sitting up. So close to her prize, she decides to crawl. Leaning forward on her hands, she extends her legs and tries to get close to the mask. This time it doesn't move, except for the wink. She touches it and feels the grain run top to bottom. Her fingers feel the round edge of the eye hole. Slowly it begins to close and catches her finger, but gently, loose enough so she can pull away without splinters. The grin gets bigger, and the wooden extension splits into four individual legs. Like a butterfly emerging from a cocoon, the legs sputter and stretch, slowly reaching to the ground. Once steady, the mask begins to upright itself, propped up in the crawling position, mirroring the child. They look at each other in circle, investigating, better understanding. And the mask turns its head and looks at the open window. The shadow wasn't a tree. The window wasn't open before. Someone had cracked it open and is crawling in. A drizzle of rain has started and the stranger gets water on the carpet as he struggles to get in the window. The little girl didn't notice the man before, and where mysteries never scare her, strangers do. She tries to crawl into the corner and the mask stands between her and the intruder, hiding her, protecting her. She lets out a slight whimper, but one of the mask's hind legs presses against her lips and encourages her to be quiet. She's not sure why, but instinctually trusts the mask. At the window, the intruder successfully enters the room. When he finally plops in, he waits, listens, gets into a crouched position, and waits some more, listening for the parents, hoping he's gone unnoticed. A few minutes pass and he feels confident no one heard him. Quiet as can be, he brushes some of the water off and makes his way to the crib, careful to avoid stepping on anything, then looks inside. His employer ensured him the child slept here every night, alone and soundly. Gently putting his hands in the center of the crib, he jingles the mobile but finds nothing. Rummaging around the corners, he can tell the crib is empty. Always a professional, he doesn't panic. It's not the first time intel was bad. So he grabs his flashlight, lets the wind and rain pick up outside to cover any sound he might make, ensures he's facing away from the door and turns it on. He does a fast sweep to check the entire floor and sees her huddling in a corner, behind some weird wooden doll with a creepy wooden smile. He turns the flashlight off as quickly as he turned it on, waits a few minutes, making sure the parents in the next room didn't wake up. When he's feeling confident they haven't, he makes his way across the room. Blinded by the flashlight, the kidnapper remains crouched, with his hands extended, feeling for the child or the wall. Then he steps on something and hears a crack. Part of a wooden dowel pierces his shoe and breaks off in his foot. He does his best to muffle a scream and mostly succeeds. Falling, he grabs at his foot and tries to pull the stick out. It must be that ugly toy, he thinks, and looks around to make sure he doesn't step on it again. He sees the toy, but it's not broken or mangled, not laying on the floor in pieces. Instead, it's shambling towards him. The awkward smile is gone, replaced by a fierce expression. Eyes like slits, focused, vengeful. The man is panicked and tries to stand, but his foot is injured. He turns, hopping on one leg, and moves toward the window. His knees buckle from the shooting pain. His hands flail. He reaches for a cabinet or the crib or a ledge, anything to break his fall. Instead, he lands face first into the wet carpet so close to the window. His nose cracks against the floor, and blood pools beneath him. Though his mind is foggy, he can hear the creature approach. With great effort, he places both hands on either side of himself and starts to lift. Dragging his legs, the carpet burns, but he must continue struggling against the pain. Picking himself off of the ground at a half push-up, he straightens his back so he's on his hands and knees. Crawling to the window, he's afraid to look back but can hear the beast scuttle. The rain is louder. He can hear the storm outside, the wind jostling the mobile and the tick, tick, tick as the creature's appendages strike the ground. The sound is getting closer, and right as the man is reaching for the window ledge, about to escape, he feels his good leg get skewered by one of the giant wooden dowels the monster uses as legs. He's dragged backwards and flipped onto his back, about to scream until he sees the mask. It's grown almost as tall as the room. He's paralyzed. His voice won't work and his limbs are numb. He can't cry or holler, fight back or run. The only action his body can handle is to stare. Looking into those menacing eyes, watching as the mouth opens wide and his body, legs first, starts to get eaten. In the corner, the child looks on, not with fear but fascination. She sees the scary man disappear into the friendly mask's mouth. And when the bad guy is gone, the mask turns toward her and shrinks to normal size. With legs still extended, it gently picks up the girl and places her back in the crib, swaddles her in a blanket, and tucks in the edges. Snug and exhausted after a crazy half hour, she relaxes, feels safe in her room, and falls asleep. The rain is dying down and the mask closes the window, silently cleaning up, lapping up blood, and making sure all the furniture, toys and clothes are right where the parents left them, picking up any remnants of broken wood or bone. Afterward, it walks back to its corner, nestles down to where it was, sucks in the legs, looks at the sleeping child, winks, then goes motionless. In the other room, a worried mother wakes up a sleeping father and says, "I think I heard a noise, go check." He thinks it was just the storm, but looks anyway. The first thing he does is look for his daughter. The room is how they left it, except some water got in the window. He makes a mental note to check the caulking tomorrow. Maybe that's where the noise came from. Then peers into the crib and sees his daughter is sleeping, all wrapped up and safe. He plays with the mobile, making it jingle, and thinks about childhood innocence. Leaving the room, he sees a mask, the one his father-in-law put in his wife's nursery to watch over her as a child. He sees it laying on the ground, picks it up and puts it back on the shelf. "What silly superstitions we humans have," he mutters to himself, then inspects the rest of the house. Everything is quiet. Everyone is safe. He gets back in bed and kisses his already sleeping wife, then falls asleep. He needs his rest. It'll be a big day tomorrow. They're going to the zoo.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode of The Other Stories. Where Does It Hide? Was written by Jay Wolf, narrated by Matthew Lloyd Davies, produced by Carl Hughes, and music by Chris Zabriskie and Tom Robson, and sound effects provided by freesound.org. The episode illustration was provided by Luke Spooner of Carry On House. A quick thanks to our community managers, Joshua Boucher and Jasmine Notch, and to Joshua Boucher for helping with our submission reading. And of course, to Ben Errington, the phantom of the social media opera. His digital presence ephemeral and elusive, his posts and updates like fleeting glimpses of a masked figure in the night. I think I just saw him. For more of Matthew Lloyd Davies' work, head over to matthewlloyddavies.com. The Other Stories is a production of the story studio Hawk and Cleaver, and it's brought to you with a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives License. That means don't sell it, don't change it, but by all means share the hell out of it. Until next time.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.